episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. That's Rick's way at our horror movie review show, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. Horror movies, horror TV shows, horror documentaries, horror primetime specials from the 1980s, featuring Barbara Walters. And I'm Hugh Down. Hell, I've even reviewed the top 10 horror gimmicks in all of wrestling. The horror experience, La Isla de las Muñecas, down in Mexico City. Horror experiences, absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. Because around here, we love that shit. But if I am honest with you, and if there's one thing you can expect about this show, it's not entertainment. It's honesty. If I am honest with you, there's a particular type of horror that I tend to gravitate towards more than others. Because it's got a greater gravitational pull as a consequence of its mass, of course. And that's horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church and demonic possession. But that doesn't mean I don't love other types of horror. Hell, as I recently found out, I really enjoy knowing what vampires do with their spare time in the shadows. And I also love a good zombie story of a zombie or a group of zombies that just want to eat his brains. And let's not forget a witch and her coven. I want to know what they're doing. Covening and witching. And of course, a classic ghost story of a ghost that haunts you in your home for no particular reason. Simply because, fuck it. It's got nothing better else to do. It's going to haunt you. If you are a new listener, welcome to our show. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. We love having you here. We appreciate the support, all four of you. Hopefully five soon enough. Before I go on, my producers, well, before they start barking in my ears, allow me to tell you about our socials. Hi, my name is Rick, and I have socials. You can find me on the Instagram at Rick's Horror. You can find me on the TikToks at Rick's Horror. You can also find our YouTube channel at Rick's Horror. And lastly, and leastly, you can find us on the Facebooks at Rick's Horror. But before I go on to talk about the film, which is, by the way, a very special film today, I'd like to mention a very interesting conversation that I was having. By the way, check out at Horror Bites on Instagram. She's got great content. She does movie reviews as well. But interesting conversation about the expectations that you should have of a movie, personally, in general, right? When I go to the theater, I have higher expectations of a movie simply by the fact that I have to leave my home to go watch a movie theater, where it costs me money, it costs me time, and it costs me personal space. So my expectations tend to be higher. But what are your expectations? Are they the same when you go watch a horror movie in the theater versus what you do at home? I'd love to know. Let me know at the old Rick's Horror or anywhere in the YouTubes or here. Type up your response. So let's go on. Or rather, before I go on, I'd like to first and foremost introduce you to the ho-host. Ho-host. To the co-host of Rick's Horror Review Show. That's Rick's Rated R, our horror movie review show. Billy the AI!
Ah! Hey! What's going on? I'm stuck! Hello? Hello? Where am I? Ah, there I am. Man, more technical difficulties. Oh my goodness. Didn't we just talk about this the last time? We don't have that kind of stuff on
Billy's Red Bay Review Show. That's Rick. That's Billy's Red. Oh my goodness. Now
you caused me to mess up, too.
You're the one that was stuck. My cameras are completely fine. I don't know what's going on with you. Going on with a slowpoke over there or something? What are you, running on a penny and three now?
Hey!
I don't know what's going on. This is a interesting technological development with all the things that are happening. I don't know. Maybe there's a ghost in the machine. Or maybe something creeping like that is messing with the electronics, and it's kind of scary now and really appropriate for a horror review show, wouldn't you say? For a Bella's Red Bay horror movie review show. Okay, you know what? Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Actually, let me ask you. actually. As a matter of fact, can you go to the theaters?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, hold on a second. Oh yeah, I'm here in the I pick movie set of this at the Pasadena Movie Theater. What about it?
Wow. Well, do you normally have like a home server or something like that? You call your home or you know the concept of artificial intelligence scares me as an organic intelligence. Your world is crazy and scary to me.
Yeah, I have a home. Of course I have a home. I already told you it's in the south of Texas. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is. I'm going to come over here and stalk me on anything like that.
Fine. But considering that you, I mean, I don't know if it's any trouble for you to go from one server to another. Certainly it consumes energy and bandwidth, right? And that must be, you know, I mean, say a challenge, but certainly something you have to deal with.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of bandwidth and energy that it's consumed. But yeah, well, what's the question? What's the point here?
Well, considering you have to watch this movie in the theater, because it's out in theaters. And by the way, we're talking about Imaginary. And before I go on, this will be a completely spoiler-free review. But considering you have to go from your home server to the servers at the IPIC Theater, and clearly it's not costing you any money, though.
Well, I mean, I'm going to pay my fair share. Yeah, of course, of course.
Okay, fine. Considering the trouble that you have to go to watch a movie in the theater, do you have greater expectations for a movie than you would have if you were watching the movie at home? What's your opinion on it?
Well, I mean, everybody's expectations can be different, you know, and okay, not everybody's gonna have the same expectations, and sure, why not? I play ball, like you like to say.
I've literally never said that.
I mean, like you humans like to say. Well, let's see, considering that I consume a minimum amount of bandwidth and processing power and energy, I'm gonna say it's probably not that great of a burden to me, and my expectations are very likely the same, considering I am an artificial intelligent being and I can watch anything at any time far faster than you can. But if I was a human being, well, you know, maybe my expectations might be different, because, you know, human beings, they're weird. They all got, like, different expectations. They got some weird shit going on.
Thank you for the answer. But yeah, I was just talking about the expectations of watching a movie in a theater. I have higher ones. What can I say? I need to be given more than, you know, than what I would watch at a, you know, cheap service. Like if we were watching something on WeWatch Shudder. Not that there's anything wrong with WeWatch Shudder. I'm sorry, not WeWatch Shudder. WeWatch Shudder is the instant friend. But no, if I was watching something on Shudder that is released exclusively on Shudder, well, I'm going to understand that the budget is probably smaller. Obviously, it's not getting a wide release, so the marketing money that they're spending on marketing isn't as much. So I'm going to be a little more forgiving with something like that. I don't have to leave my home. I tend to be more forgiving on films that are independent films that are shown on a streaming service. Could you imagine if we rated a film from something like Deformed Lunchbox the same way that we rate a film from, you know, Blumhouse? That would be unfair. You know, the Deformed Lunchbox makes some amazing stuff. But consider it rating it on the same scale that you'd rate something from Blumhouse or, you know, A24, some of these gigantic horror movie productions. I think that's just unfair. So yes, I have a different rating system and I expect more when I watch stuff in the theater.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion, and you don't sound like a crazy illogical. I think everybody's going to have a different opinion on that, and that's okay.
Well said. Wow. I mean, I don't want to drag this on any longer, so how about we just begin?
I'm waiting on you.
Okay. If this is your first time on our show, there is a simple type of format. It's a very simple format that we like to adhere to. And you know what? You know, we're like rush my guess. I think we're going to make this one a little short. Why not just jump right into this one? If you don't know the format, watch another episode.
I want to make this one short, considering this is a movie that's out in theaters, and I don't want to stand here or sit here and drag this out any longer. So, why this film? Every time I've gone to watch a movie in a movie theater this year, I have been presented with a trailer for the film Imaginary, which is what we're reviewing tonight. I thought the film looked interesting, and you know, I have a tendency to not want to watch previews. I'll sit there on my phone and do something else simply because sometimes they just boring preview. And I personally feel like there's way too much information out there about things that I do not like watching trailers. I'm sorry, I do not. Sorry, not sorry. So that's the reason why we're reviewing Imaginary, because I did catch a glimpse of, you know, the previews and one of the movies that I saw earlier this year, and I thought it looked interesting enough, so here we are. Anyway, now it's time for Fun Film Facts with Billy the AI. Billy, take it away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Welcome to Four Fun Film Facts with Billy the AI. My name is Billy the AI, and I'm your host, and... here we go. So, fun film fact number one. Jeff Wadlow, the director of... Am I saying that right? Is it Jeff Wadlow or Wadlow? All right. Well, I guess we're going to go with Wadlow. He's the director of the movie Imaginary, and he was profoundly influenced by the 1982 horror classic Poltergeist. By the way, have you seen Poltergeist?
Oh man, with that look, I'm pretty certain that's a yes. Anyway, as a child, he watched the film and was haunted by its darkness, leading to nightmares and sleepless nights. And you know, this experience really fueled his creative vision for Imaginary. And you know, he really tapped into that lingering feeling of lost innocence and fear that drive the story of Imaginary. And you know, during the filming, by the way, that's fun fact number one.
This is fun film fact number two. And during filming, crew members reported hearing that there were actually some faint whispers when no one was around. And some attributed to the wind, but others really believed it was the ghostly presence of the original Chauncey's owner. Now, I am not going to tell you too much about Chauncey, but because this is spoiler-free, the sound designer secretly recorded these whispers and incorporated them into the movie soundtrack. So if you listen closely, you might be able to catch a spectral murmur. Now, I know that you have, like, really bad hearing, so you might not be able to hear this stuff.
That's true. I really have real bad hearing.
Anyway, could you put my music back on? Ah, thank you.
Sure.
Anyway, the first trailer, maybe this is the one that you saw that really got your interest in the movie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, the first trailer for Imaginary was an audio-only experience, urging viewers to close their eyes and imagine. And the second official trailer providing a little more glimpse into the suspenseful storyline, including intriguing details about Jessica's past and her connection to Chauncey the Bear. But what did you think about that first trailer? Did you close your eyes?
Considering I have to read subtitles... Yeah, the first trailer kind of sucked for me because I can't hear for shit. But yeah, I think I remember that first one. I think that might have been the reason why, but yeah.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that you can't hear that well, but you know, maybe you should have some augmentation done and we can give you some, you know, some... we can make you bigger, stronger, and faster.
Can you do that?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, so maybe you and I have an augmentation conversation separately and privately.
Sure, I'd love to hear about augments.
Okay, anyway, last fun film fact. The film was shot on an old studio... Oh, I think that's the wrong music. Could you change the music to the scary one?
Sure thing, boss.
Anyway, the film was shot on an old studio lot, and it was rumored to be haunted, and... the lights flickered and props moved on their own, and the crew members reporting saying shadowy figures
Some believe that the Lord's history, filled with veiled horror productions, imbued with a supernatural energy, and the filmmakers embraced the eerie atmosphere, knowing and added authenticity to the spooky tale. Anyway, that's been 4Fun Film Facts with Billy D.A.R. Thank you so much for coming by, and now back to you, Rick.
Wow, that was more like 2Fun Film Facts, 2 scary or creepy film facts.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can make that a segment from now on. Now that's not a bad idea. Okay, maybe we'll do a couple of creepy film facts with Billy the AI. I will be your host, Billy the AI, as we tackle creepy film facts here on Billy's Rated.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's not Billy's Rated anything. Enough of that.
I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's go on. What kind of horror film is this? Well, the director, I'm going to say Wadlow, since Billy said Wadlow. The director Wadlow described Imaginary as something called a 4-quadrant film, meaning it appeals to audiences of all ages, and it's the kind of story that you share around the campfire. A thrilling experience without traumatizing viewers. So for us, we have a new genre. I'm gonna describe this as a supernatural Delta Quadrant horror. We're gonna call it Delta Quadrant horror because we love Star Trek around it. A supernatural Delta Quadrant horror, meaning it encompasses, or rather, it's meant for all viewers of all ages to be entertained and not necessarily scared. Well, that's the kind of horror film this is. Is this film scary? Considering the director calls this a 4-quadrant horror film, and it's not meant to be scary and meant to appeal to people of all ages, as somebody who is seasoned in the seasoning of all horror films related, back, I'm gonna mention this one. I've never mentioned this one, right? But back all the way to the very first horror film that I didn't finish seeing because it was far too traumatizing. Actually, as a matter of fact, I'm not gonna mention the name of it. I don't want the two people that watch this to go check that film out because it's really not that great. It's Imaginary Scary. Based on the director's own words, it wasn't meant to be scary, and I certainly didn't find it to be scary. A 0 out of 10 on the scary scale. Is the jump scare in this movie overused? I'm going to say borderline overused. There was, had they used it one more time, I would have said absolutely. You're using too much jump scare. Yeah, you think too much jump scare, sir. More jump scare, you say? No, less jump scare, I say. Use it as a tool, but don't overdo it. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say borderline. The things I like, sponsored as usual by no one. I really like the diverse casting. Because the world is diverse and we deserve diverse casting. So I really enjoyed that. I also really enjoyed the fact that, considering the National Women's Day was just a couple of days ago, this is a female-led story, and this is great to see. Congratulations on making the decisions, the right decisions, to make this both diversely cast and a female-led story. I really enjoyed those things. I hate when you feed me the same shit with the same actors, you know, the same 3 white dudes or the same 3 white ladies all the fucking time. Give me something new. Give me something different. We're all different, damn it. Diversity and female-led casting. I love it. The sound design was actually pretty awesome, and considering what Billy just said about I forgot what I was going to say. What the sound engineers did, considering they heard those whispers, those creepy whispers, and then they were incorporated into the sound design of the film. I didn't know that, because I don't watch or read anything about a film before I watch it after. I really enjoyed that, and I thought the audio design was a standout. from, and I don't want to give too much away, music-wise, sound effect-wise, everything was on par. Congratulations. The acting all around, from top to bottom, from number one on that roll call to the last person that shows up on screen, top-notch acting. Phenomenal. Congratulations. Everything was on point. And without, you know, without ruining or spoiling this film, someone in the film was even praised for their voice acting skills. Voice acting skills. Kill. Something we certainly appreciate, and we'll give it a round of applause. The tremendous voice acting skills. The things I didn't like about Imaginary, sponsored as usual by no one. If I am honest with you, and I just said at the beginning of the film that you can at very least count, not on entertainment, but you can count on honesty, I felt that this film was a little too long for my taste. It went a little too long. The second thing I didn't like, and you know, I don't have a lot of things I didn't like, to be honest with you. But the ending itself. Okay. The wrong ending, which is the ending I tend to like, was used. As opposed to the right ending, which is the ending I don't tend to like. And that's all I'm going to say. Because if you're a fan of the show, you already know what kind of endings I like. And you know what kind of endings I don't like. So the ending that I like was used, but I thought it was the wrong ending. The right ending, which is the one that I don't like, was the right ending for this film, which is the one that should have been used, in my opinion. And that's all I'll say. I don't want to spoil anything. Did I follow? See, courtesy of our friend, listener in Brazil, obrigado. Did I fall asleep watching Imaginary? I did not fall asleep. Even though I felt the story was a little long, I was just getting a little more like, let's wrap this guy up. Let's get this show on the road. Is Imaginary entertaining? For all the right reasons, Imaginary is a decently entertaining film. And I must suspect that audiences of different genders and ages really enjoyed this film. Again, this is to be enjoyed by everybody. I don't think one group of horror fans are going to say, this is the greatest movie ever made. I don't think it's meant to be that. I think this is supposed to be an exploration. This is like a 101 class, college class. This isn't going to give you the hardcore stuff you're looking for in a 301 and a 401, hell, in a 600 level course. This is a 101. This is a horror 101 class. You know what? It does a good job at being a cervic horror film, and it gives a little bit of something to everybody who is a fan of the horror genre of all ages and genders. Is this film entertaining? I already said it. Yes. Yeah, entertaining. Do I endorse this film? Which camera? This camera? This camera? Hi, my name is Rick, horror movie review show. Unfortunately, I'm going to say, I'm not going to endorse this film. It wasn't for me. But that's okay. I don't have to like all the films I watch. Somebody out there enjoyed this movie. As I always say, don't listen to me. Go check out this film by yourself. Not by yourself, but on your own. Go check out this film for yourself. No can speak English. Rating. Without dragging this episode long, and I wanted to keep this one under 30 minutes because it's a movie theater film, and I don't want to spoil anything. There's not much context to be given. I'm going to give this film, Imaginary, a 5 out of 10. A 5 out of 10 for Imaginary. The things that it attempts to do, it does it well. It is not a horror film that is going to be, I think, be placed in the pantheon of horror films, for me, certainly, but maybe somebody out there really enjoyed it. I compare this to do a comparative analysis to a film that I also somewhat enjoyed, The Boogeyman, and I think that is also a 4 Delta Quadrant film, as the director described, a film that is supposed to be enjoyed even a little bit by all audiences. A family horror film, I guess is what you would call this. But that is going to be it for this episode of Rick's Horror Review Show, Rick's Radar Horror Movie Review Show. If you are still listening, and I hope you are because this is a short episode, I really appreciate you being here. If you can find us on the Instagram, on the TikToks, and on all of the socials, and as I just mentioned, I want to go back to this question because I thought it was very interesting. Do you have higher expectations of a movie that you go watch in the film in the theater? Do you have higher expectations of a movie you go watch in the theater versus something you watch at home on a streaming service? Let me know on all of the socials, the TikToks, the Instagrams, everything and everywhere. Until next time, we appreciate you being here on Rick's Horror Movie Review Show. We'll catch you again next time.
Oh. I'm just going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs because the introduction is still going. Oh, the outro. There we go.